Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 7, the first paragraph that begins with "My brother-in-law." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Kim T. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Lisa B., Kara L., and Margaret D. The share ID for Sunday, September 20th, the special edition, is 15,397. That's 15397. This morning's Monday, September 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, share ID is 15,401. That's 15401. Our newcomer greeter for today is Betsy H., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, fellow travelers. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater presently in Northern Michigan. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. And Kim T., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Sure. Good morning. This is Kim T., compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personality at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Anonymity, number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are reading what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 7, the first paragraph that begins with my brother-in-law. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So Lisa B., would you get us started, please?
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone that's doing service and that's here. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. It says, my brother-in-law is a physician, and through his kindness and that of my mother, I was placed in a nationally known hospital for the mental and physical rehabilitation of alcoholics. Under the so-called belladonna treatment, my brain cleared. Hydrotherapy and mild exercise helped much. Best of all, I met a kind doctor who explained that, though certainly selfish and foolish, I had been seriously ill bodily and mentally. There's so much here I can identify in with. My father drove me to a treatment center on the other coast of Florida because I could not stop binge eating. And when I got into that institution and felt safe inside the walls, I met a kind therapist. And I learned that I had been very selfish and foolish, but that I was seriously ill, but I only heard mentally. I mean, like from a lot of trauma, perhaps in my childhood was causing this. So I began a big search, you know, into my childhood. If I could just understand the inner workings of my mind, you know, that would solve the problem. I was very blessed in this treatment center in that I was given a good food plan that did eliminate pretty much all of my allergens and my alcoholic foods. And I learned a little bit about the behaviors, but I think they did talk about the 12 steps and the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because this was also a treatment center for drug addicts and alcoholics, and there were meetings there. But my mind, I got that if I'm abstinent, like that's the solution, and that once I leave here, I'm going to be okay. I had no idea that the 12 steps is really what treats my mind. You know, that's what treats the mind, and that abstinence is the key to get in that door. So I had a white knuckle abstinence as a result, and it was not fun. It was not pleasant. And when I left there, I had a little bit of long-term abstinence, white knuckle for a few years. And guess what? I went right back into the mall and to Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookies and was off and running. You know, I didn't get the whole solution. And that's what I hear here, that he's got some hope. He's met this kind person that it's explaining, you know, it's not because you're just a screw up. You know, yes, there might be some things off in you, but there's other issues and you have an allergy of the body. And that was great that he learned that. And you have a mental imbalance, but he hasn't really grabbed hold of the solution yet. And I know we're going to read on and hear that, self-knowledge, that's the answer. And that's what happened to me. And then through listening to other recovered compulsive overeaters, and that really what the solution is the personality change, the spiritual awakening as a result of doing the 12 steps in a clean abstinence. That's when things began to change for me. But it doesn't mean that it was all wrong or bad. It's just a part of my process, you know. And many good things happened as a result of being there. So with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we are on page 7, the first paragraph, my brother-in-law. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kathy K.
Kathy K.
Georgie.
Georgie.
Correct.
What was that?
Toby K.
Okay, I'm not hearing very well. Was it Toby K?
Toby A.
Toby A, okay. And did I hear a Brett in there?
Lauren H.
Lauren H. Okay, I have four names here. Tell me if I missed you. I have Kathy K, I think it was George E, Toby A, and Lauren H. Okay, I'll assume I got those right. So go ahead, please, Kathy K, followed by George E.
Good morning, everyone. Kathy K from from Sacramento, California. I'm grateful to be to be on a call this morning, and thank you to everyone giving service. You know, I too went to a treatment center for eating disorders, and you know, got some relief, and was driving home from Southern California, and got a caramel frappuccino on my way home. And I think it was because we weren't introduced to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the treatment center. I had been aware of it because I had been in OA, but just we didn't get introduced to it in the treatment center. So it was, it too got me dry but not sober. So I'm so grateful for this meeting this morning and a chance to do my day differently and my life differently because of the Visions Group. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy K. Okay, Georgie, I have you next, followed by Toby A.
This is Georgie, compulsive overeater near Cincinnati, Ohio, 859. This paragraph's always puzzled me a little bit. I've read Pass It On, and it doesn't track well. I kind of wondered about Belladonna, and I remember asking a sponsor about that one time. And, it may have been a mild hallucinogen of some sort, but I've heard that disputed too. And so I've often wondered if... this was part of Bill's spiritual awakening, you know, this not just feeling better, looking better, you know, but he does mention his mother in this paragraph. And I think that's maybe the only place he does. They had kind of a tortuous relationship, is my understanding, single parent home, that kind of thing. So, you know, it does mirror my story a little bit. I mean, I was hospitalized right before I came in to OA, but I'm not sure. You know, something happened when I was hospitalized where I witnessed something that, you know, I guess finally drove me into the room. So I can relate in a very direct way to the story. I guess maybe I should be specific. There was a young, fairly young woman who was in that same hospital who basically was killing herself, malnourishing herself. And it just made me realize that I have a disease, because I came out of that hospital at the other extreme, you know, like binging, but just kind of at the peak of my diabetic disease, you know. So, you know, an interesting paragraph. I'll be anxious to hear what other people have to say. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, George E. Hey, Toby A., you're up, followed by Lauren H.
Hi, my name is Toby A. in California. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have both the, you know, alcoholism and the compulsive overeating, and I went to one of those treatment centers for my alcoholism, and it was all, you know, the big book. They handed you a big book. You walked in the door. We worked the 12 steps. And, you know, and I stayed clean and sober. And, but this, you know, this compulsive overeating, I went to, you know, not an inpatient, but a medically monitored food plan program. And just this past year, and started in December 5th, which is my abstinence date. And went through this, you know, medical program, and they didn't talk about the 12 steps at all. They didn't get into, it was all about just losing the weight. It was all about just losing the weight. And, but I knew that that wasn't going to work. That wasn't going to, I mean, I, you know, I could lose the weight and I'd just gain it all back again. I'd done it so many times. But I went to meetings. I went to Overeaters Anonymous meetings the whole time that I was doing that program. And I've been working with a sponsee who had done that same medically monitored program, and but not doing Overeaters Anonymous. And, you know, she gained all the weight back again. And she's like, you know, I don't know why it didn't work. And I'm like, you know, they don't do the 12 steps. You're not going to, if you are a compulsive overeater, if you're a real compulsive overeater, like I am, that's a food plan. That's going to help you lose the weight maybe, but not keep it off. And the other thing was, she said, I cheated all the way through there. And I was like, I didn't cheat, because I was going to the meetings and I knew that I was, that the only way that I was going to stay abstinent was through the 12 steps. I've often been frustrated that particular, you know, medical program for compulsive overeaters, but they don't say that. They don't get it, that they need to incorporate Overeaters Anonymous meetings and the 12 steps into their program. So anyway, that's all I have to share, and I'm really grateful for this meeting, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Toby A. And before I take Lauren H., just a reminder, we're on page 7, the first paragraph of Bill's story that begins with my brother-in-law. I'll be taking some more names after Lauren, so go ahead, please, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren H. from Los Angeles. Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for who does service on this meeting. Appreciate you. Gosh, I can really relate to this passage, this physical and mental sickness. I look back and I think, wow, yeah, just only 8 years ago, my body was 70 pounds more, higher. I weighed 70 pounds more. And that's just a visual for me of physical and mental sickness. I can look, you know, the physical for the last 20 years or more, I'm sure. When I put those alcoholic ingredients in, that for me, just the sugar and salt from my alcoholic ingredients, my brain goes, party, hey, party. And I'm a party girl. And I just, that physical, I just want more party. And I can't stop the party. And the mental is the last 20 years, I banged my head and said, I cannot do this again at the end of the night. And there I am in the morning, back at it. What is that, like 6,000, 7,000 days over 20 years? And I'm back at it. And so that mental sickness and that physical sickness is right there in the forefront. And yeah, just super grateful for this program. And Lauren H. from Los Angeles recovered. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lauren H. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on the first paragraph, page 7?
Sima M.
Sima M.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Shelly B.
Shelly B.
Christine M.
Christine M.
Yes.
Okay. Alrighty, we'll start with that. Felicia B. Great. Got right in there, Felicia. Thanks. Okay, so I have Sima M, Kara L, Janice K, Shelly B, Christine M, and Felicia B. So go ahead, please, Sima M.
Hi, this is Sima M, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery just for today, one day at a time. I was reading this paragraph and listening to the other shares, and I remember the time, I don't know if I had already come into OA or not, but I went to a fasting retreat where the treatment was you don't eat and you drink water until a couple of days before they send you home, then they give you regular food. I don't even know if they gave a food plan. Anyway, every food plan I was ever on, whether before OA, during OA, always worked. But it didn't stop me. There was a period that always came in which I started eating again. And I focus in here on the seriously, I had been seriously ill bodily and mentally. And for me, that's what happened. I mean, I was in an OA for many, many years and with many, many sponsors and studying the big book and working the steps. And then I left for a long time. And when I came back 7 years ago, I realized that why hadn't it worked for me? And it was because of the part where it says, there are those with grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And it is, I never started eating just because I was triggered by a substance, for me anyway. But it was always emotional and always not being aware of what those emotions were. And for today, I'm grateful that I also am involved in Intergroup, and we do have a program where we try to send people out into the community of the doctors to inform them that they can work with people who are in treatment programs using the big book and the steps, etc., and that it should not just be focused on a food program. I think came upon the medical community a lot earlier, so the medical community is one up on that, and I think someday they will help overeaters in facilities with the program as well. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Sima M. Kara L., you are up next, followed by Janice K. Go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for everyone doing service today in the meeting. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. This is the first time we see that Bill meets Dr. Silkworth at Towns Hospital. It's his first of 3 stays before he has a spiritual awakening. And it's the first time he actually hears the reason he's sick, and that it's not just poor morals and poor willpower, that he has been seriously ill bodily and mentally. And I really think this paragraph speaks of hope. It gives Bill hope that there, you know, now that it's been identified that he is actually sick, that there is a solution. Now, Bill doesn't find the solution until a couple pages later, which we'll read in a couple weeks, a week or so. Abby Thatcher will bring him the solution. But right now, it's the first step towards recovery. Bill knows that there is a solution. Now, he's going to try a few other things like self-knowledge and whatnot, and he'll have a couple other stays in the hospital before he has a spiritual awakening. But it gives me hope because I always love this point. I find that this point is the turning point. We've been reading, you know, about Bill's decline, you know, into alcoholism and how alcoholism has become the most powerful thing. And we're going to hear how it's his master soon. And this is the first ray of hope, you know, he gets. You're sick. There is a solution, right? But he just doesn't know what it is yet. And it's a turning point. This is the point we see Dr. Silkworth come into the picture. And I identify with that so much because I needed to know I was sick. And I needed to know that there was a solution. And for me today, the solution is the big book and the 12 steps and doing everything I can to stay in contact with my higher power throughout the day. You know, and I check in those small moments of prayer meditation throughout the day. You know, I ask my higher power for my higher power's opinion on everything I do. You know, I realize I see things through a very small alcoholic lens, very small compulsive overeater lens, and my higher power sees everything. So I need to turn and get help, because if I go with what I see in the world, inevitably I steer myself into a corner that ends in compulsive eating. And when I ask my higher power for help throughout the day is easier, and I can breathe, and I can fall into the abundance of my higher power. So for that, I am grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. Janice K., you are up next, followed by Shelley B. Good morning, Janice. Janice, star 1 to unmute, please.
Okay, here I am. Thank you so much for waiting. This is Janice Kay in Central Oregon. My experience has been that program changes the extent I let it in. When I first came to program, probably about 1987, I used it as an educational support group, and it worked. I learned a lot, and I grew up some, and I learned what I thought was responsibility. But in time, I left. I came back a second time in May of 2000, and this time I used it as a somewhat spiritual support group. I looked at eating, and I said, oh boy, we got a sugar addict here. And I gave up sugar, but I kept the salt, the high fat, and the refined carbohydrates, as well as the eating behaviors. I wasn't able to turn those over until I came back in 2019. This program will be what I will let it be. The deeper I let it in, the more I'm willing to let it change me, the greater it is. Our leader says, the deeper our surrender, the more fully realized our freedom from food obsession, and that's true. So I wake up, I heard someone say recently, I wake up every day as an unrecovered compulsive overeater. And every day I wake up and I have to surrender everything again to my higher power. And I am learning how to live in the presence of that higher power, because that's where my help lies. I am certainly not able to do it myself. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice E. Okay, Shelley B., you are up, followed by Christine M.
Good morning. This is Shelley B., recovering compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. I can relate to this paragraph in the way that I was, I wasn't hospitalized for physical problems of overeating. I was hospitalized for depression. And didn't really realize I had a physical allergy. It was all about curing my mind. And although I was treated for depression and released, I thought I would be able to control it with my mind, my food and diet, and lose the weight. And it didn't happen. I gradually became heavier and heavier. I'm 4'10 and I reached 191. And to me, that was even, that the depression came back because I was so heavy, and I felt that this was just the way I was. It was because of the depression, and there was nothing I could do, just succumb to it. So I was in therapy for the depression, and my therapist recommended that I try OA, and I'm grateful to be here, and I can't believe it's a relief to me to know that I have a physical allergy. It just explained to me so much about my disease and overeating. It was like a light came on, or like you cleaned a window that was really dirty. I'm living in each day right now, and it's even lessened my anxiety because I'm in today. Still working. I haven't worked all the way through the steps, but I am working with a sponsor, and I'm making progress. And it's just a wonderful community and so supportive, and I'm just really grateful to be here. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Shelley B. Okay, good morning, Christine M. It is your turn, followed by Felicia B.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you for your service. This is Christine M., gratefully recovered in Missouri. I'm just ecstatic to be on this line. And, you know, for me, I can really relate. I had so many labels of mental illness put on me by doctors and therapists. And, you know, I was told, you know, you have trauma, you have untreated trauma, and all that is true. And I do get outside help, and I do need outside help. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, I was going to the hospital for depression because I wanted to commit suicide because I couldn't stop eating. And that the physical part was never addressed. And so I just thought it was trauma. And what I've learned is I do have trauma, but I couldn't even begin to step into that and to work on that until I put the food down completely, truly surrendered, and got recovered from compulsive overeating. There was no way that I could step into that and work on that. So, you know, I'm just grateful today that, like I said, I do have outside issues, but I don't have this, you know, big unknown mental illness that nobody understands. I have, you know, an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind. And I also learned that, you know, trauma or upbringing or any of that isn't what, you know, makes me a compulsive overeater. It's the fact that, you know, I have this peculiar mental twist and I have this, you know, physical allergy, and I can't, you know, stop once I start, and I can't stop from starting. So I don't know. I'm just grateful that I'm here and that there is a spiritual solution, and that both therapists and psychiatrists are a part of my life and very helpful to me. I can do that alongside Overeaters Anonymous, but not instead of Overeaters Anonymous. I have to have Overeaters Anonymous. I have to have a spiritual experience. I have to work with others, you know, and I'm just truly grateful to be here and to know that, you know, there is a solution, because I was kind of out there on my own before, like I said, thinking that, you know, this mental condition and, you know, nobody understands me and all that, and a lot of it, the depression, what I thought was depression was also self-pity too. And so I'm just truly grateful to be here, grateful to be recovered another day, grateful there's a way out. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine M. And before I take you, Felicia, just a reminder to everyone, we are on page 7 in Bill's story, the first paragraph, my brother-in-law, and I'll be able to take some more names after Felicia shares. So go ahead, please, Felicia.
Hi, I'm Felicia, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you so much. I just want to thank everyone for their service as well. So I thought many times about going to a place, a food rehab. I used to feel jealous of people, and I was sitting here and I was thinking I wasn't going to share. But, like, who feels jealous about not being able to go to a treatment center? I wanted to be able to go to a treatment center, and I wanted it to be just about food. I didn't want to have to do anything different in my life. I didn't even want to have to give up the foods. I didn't want to have to give up. I just wanted it to be like my way. And I don't think I ever really, you know, someone earlier quoted, you know, sometimes people can't recover because they can't be truly honest with themselves. I don't think I ever clicked that with the food, and that was where I was at. I had this arrogance that I could use the 12 steps from a different way that had nothing to do with OA, far OA, and just needed to, you know, figure out how to be thin, and that somehow that would mean I would be well and I would have sanity. And so I would go up and down and up and down and up and down in my weight, because eventually I would eat something that would trigger the compulsion, or I just had the crazy mental obsession in my head, and I could never stay stopped, and I could never be happy. And I left OA somewhere around, I don't know, 1993-ish, and came back in July. And I don't think I realized that you could go and be gone for so long. You know, like I would go in and out thinking, like, I'll try it again. But I was gone for 25 years, and so much damage to myself. And just so grateful that when I came back, my sponsor told me about these meetings. I didn't think I could listen to the Big Book and equate it to food. And listening to everyone here makes it so much easier to do. And I can't even begin to imagine where I would be on a daily basis with my mind, never mind my body, without these meetings. So thank you.
And thank you, Felicia B. Okay, we do value your experience, and we're going to take some more names, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So who else would like to share on page 7, the first paragraph?
Denise J.
Denise J. You can take a couple more names. Okay, Denise, go ahead.
Carrie S.
Carrie S. Good. Thanks, Carrie. Go ahead. Go ahead, Denise.
Okay, this is Denise J. And I am a compulsive overeater. And, you know, there is no other way. I have to tell you, I'm kind of back listening to meetings. I've scheduled them in, like actually listening to a live meeting. Yeah, there's just one way here. I mean, I love how people say, you know, I didn't want to give up this or I didn't want to give up that, and I'll pick and choose, and I'll be a cafeteria OA-er where I, you know, pick what I want to do and not what I don't want to do. And well, if it's not convenient, well, geez. And, you know, I am just so grateful for all of you who teach me the truth. I'm in a couple programs. I'm telling you, this is the hardest. Oh, it's just so hard because it's not what I want to do when I want to do it. And my gosh, you know, but the truth is it's the easier, softer way, because when I'm at meetings, you know, something changes inside me. I call them soul surgery. When I'm at a meeting, I don't end the meeting the same person I started as. You know, I believe everything that you say. I believe what I hear. I believe that, and it starts to internalize and change my thoughts. I remember when I first came into OA, it was about almost 7 years ago, and I would saturate myself in OA. Everything I listened to, podcasts when I was in the car, because I just needed to rearrange my thoughts. You know, what I was doing wasn't working. I need a mental rearrangement. And that stuck with me from the get-go. I love the whole concept. You know, there's an AA saying that says changing playmates and playgrounds. And my playground was standing in my kitchen. So I can't stand in my kitchen and eat anymore. I can't stand, period. You know, when I think of the playground, I think of all of my behaviors, you know, going back for seconds. You know, that's my compulsive overeater's playground. I am such a behavior person. I've got a couple trigger foods, I guess. It's all about the behavior. And I love that we can all get so much relief and so much hope from this program and support. And it doesn't even matter what my behaviors look like compared to somebody else's. I can relate. And I'll tell you, there's been several times where I have compared out, and that is really typically the beginning of my relapse. And so God revealed to me, my higher power, that every time I listen to somebody speak, every time I listen to a meeting, it's very important for me to find something that is very similar. I had a sponsor tell me, you know, we're more alike than we're different. And when I start comparing out, boy, I mean, that is just a setup for a relapse. So, you know, every single one of you, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for helping me learn something about myself and helping me with that soul surgery. My soul is not the same as it was when I first came in today, you know, just this morning, because of all of you who are doctors. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise J. Okay, Carrie S., go ahead, please. And you can. There you are.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Hi, everybody. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovering food addict. And, I love the shares today have been great, and I love the reminder that this is the part of the story where Bill starts to feel some hope. He meets the kind doctor who explains to him that, you know, he has a problem. I will say, in my experience, it was never a doctor who told me I was ill. It was therapists and spiritual teachers, that like. And I never went to a treatment center. I didn't deserve to spend that kind of money. I never did commercial weight loss programs other than Weight Watchers a few times. I was so far into the despair of the disease, knowing that diets didn't work. And I was, you know, in my late 20s when I figured that out. So I just spent years continuing to eat and continuing to gain weight, maintaining 280 pounds. You know, you have to eat a lot of food to get to that. And completely hopeless. There's no point in trying anything because nothing works. I'm just going to die young and fat and probably have a heart attack like, you know, most of the, not most of the people in my family, but most of my patients that I saw that were very chronically obese. So my hope came when I had been in OA for a few years and I needed a place to be safe. And that was one thing that I desperately liked the idea of a treatment program. Oh my God, you could go in there and shut the door on the world and have 30 days of safety. That's really how I looked at it, though I never did do it. But when I found a version of OA, OA How, back in 1991, it was like a light bulb went off. And what happened to me was I dove into the program. It wasn't just about the food plan, though it did not work for me long term. What it gave me was hope. I learned after losing over 100 pounds what it was like to move in a normal size body. I hadn't had that since probably junior high. And even though I failed at it, I gained all my weight back, and years later I had, you know, I was back up to 270 whatever pounds. Thank you. I still have that memory of what it felt like to be in a healthy body. So if you're in this program and you're struggling, don't give up. Keep coming back, work with a sponsor, and follow the directions. That's what it took for me. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. Okay, we have time for one more person to share on page 7, the first paragraph.
Audrey MP in Santa Monica.
Okay, Audrey, go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Team Monday. I appreciate all the shares. And for the reader that got us launched into this meeting today, my big takeaway from this paragraph is, and I highlighted it, I read the book sometimes from my app on my phone and I can highlight, and it says, I met a kind doctor who says, although selfish and foolish, I had a sick body and mind. And I'm really convinced that I hear so much recovery in a vision, in a vision for you, because everybody is just so active every day and everybody is willing every day to take calls and take a 10 step and, you know, to sponsor. This is an incredible group and I'm so grateful for it. And I don't even use it or work it the way that I, I don't know if there's any shoulds, but when they say selfish and foolish, I'm thinking about, you know, the inventory I'd done. I had worked steps with my sponsors starting in January and we finished in July, and I, you know, I went out on some, you know, Tic Tacs. I talk about this box of Tic Tac gum. And so there's the food part, but I remember making an outreach call and someone said, honey, you don't have trouble with food, you have trouble with your emotions. And when I think about my emotions and I think about this story about Bill, I know there's so many people that know so much about the history of Bill and AA and Silkworth. These words, selfish and foolish, really resonate with me. Selfish and foolish, they're such simple words. And I love that he met a kind doctor. And kindness is so important, especially like for a bullhead like me to get a sponsor. I still need kindness. And I sometimes don't lean towards a kind sponsor. I want the punishing sponsor, which my God is not. And, you know, when I think about my physical body, I'm thinking about the years that I didn't treat it well, and my amends to it is to eat well and to work this program. I just want to say I have a hip replacement. I need them both replaced, and I have a pending surgery on Wednesday. And it's not because I'm a compulsive overeater that I need my hips replaced. But if I were to really take care of my body, I'd let myself weigh less so that the surgery could be more successful and I could have a quality of life. And I, you know, I want to blame everything. Oh, I'm a compulsive overeater, so I'm this and I'm that. And that is selfish and foolish thinking. And I, you know, for today, I just want to be grateful for this meeting and all the technology involved for me to share it with you. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Audrey. Okay, thank you everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Shelley E., Kim T., Lisa B., Kara L., Margaret D., Betsy H., and Leslie M. Thank you all for your service this morning. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kara L., would you please read a vision for you?
Sure. Good morning. I'm Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.